Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hey, darling.
Hello.
Hi. So, that's right, Sophia. We love her. So, before we get started, how timely that you spent a good amount of time talking about the value of Louise Hay's book.
Oh, I know.
How to Heal Your Life. I thought that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And that this show, I'd like to dedicate this show to her, actually, and just her memory to honor her advocacy, her forward thinking, and just the service that will be her legacy. And such iconic resources like How to Heal Your Life, which we reference and use pretty consistently on this show. And then all the authors mm-hmm. that she's published, that she's made accessible. So just,
yeah,
you get your rest, girl.
Really? I know.
Get your rest. She earned
it. I didn't even notice it until late last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been doing work, but not on social media or seeing
right.
any of that stuff. So,
right.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, 90 years old, almost, I think her birthday was in October. So,
almost 91.
Yeah.
Right. Natural causes.
Yeah. She put in her time. That's for sure.
She sure did.
And she had such an impact on quite a large community, you know, I think she was somebody that her content and her ideas really came to really ignite, I would say, the spiritual community.
Absolutely.
You know, in the 80s and 90s and it's been something that people have continued to build upon. And then her creating Hay House for all the really neat authors that you know so well, she created a space for them and helped them to get to the next level, to reach the people that needed to hear that message and hear it in different ways. She had quite an empire.
Mm-hmm.
It's running quite fine on its own, you know, but she got it started and her name's, it's because of her. It's a sign of the times, I guess. You know, there's some people like, okay, got you through this point. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm out. Yeah. I don't blame her. Like, okay, I see what, okay. Can I have a to go bag? And
I'm gonna get this to go.
You know, and what's so I think what a lot of people forget, two things that really stick out in my mind where it comes to her is her compassion and advocacy for the early days of the AIDS epidemic, where people were
right.
so shrouded in ignorance and judgment, and that's really where the core of the self-love movement that she really ignited, as you said,
mm-hmm.
it came from that work. Also, the book, How to Heal Your Life, that was a series of index cards. And she assembled this handmade book and was rejected when she wanted to take it to the... Isn't that amazing? She was rejected when she wanted to take it to the mainstream press. So she said, well, I'll start my own publishing company.
Right.
That's exactly how that all started. And where years and years ago, self-publishing was looked at very, very differently as it is today. It was looked at as often referred to as vanity press, meaning, you know, you're really not worth your salt as a writer unless you're published by an established publishing house. Now that's not true, because in the spirit of independent creativity, you can really pretty much create anything under your own banner. And if it's good and you know how to put it out there, it will catch on. And there's outlets today that didn't exist back then. She had to walk the pavement. There was no social
right.
media, no internet. So that just even adds to the impact of that accomplishment. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. So rest in peace, Louise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have a hand raised, so I thought
okay.
maybe we'd do that. But yeah, way to, you know, to remember her. Her work is always going to be in our lives, so she's always going to be in our lives.
Always. Every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day.
All right. This is area code 520. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning, ladies. It's Christina. I don't
Hi,
know
Christina.
If you remember me.
Yep.
But I had called in about a job, and then
yep.
I got it.
Of
and,
course you did.
Hello. Yeah.
I remember.
So I started it. And I have two questions for you. One, I was just wondering, like, okay, we're in the process of buying a home, and I wanted to give you the address and tell me what you think about those numbers. I looked it up. I added them all together, and I looked it up. And I love the house, but I don't like what it says. So,
well, I gotta tell you before you get with the Lisa, I feel an odd energy, also. So.
And then the house is so beautiful. I'm like,
okay, I'm sure it's amazing. I'm just telling you because the Lisa's gonna talk to you about the number. You called us.
I
speak to listen. You're going to
okay,
look, you got
okay.
the job. Hello. Listen.
No, I know.
Okay, Miss Singh, listen. You're going to speak to Elisa okay. about the numbers. All I want to say right now, okay, because I'm the energy okay. check here, okay? So energetically, I felt a bit of a constrictive type of energy, and the energy, like from the heart, lung, throat area, I don't know what that means. That's just where it landed. Now I'm going to turn it over to Elisa. So she can talk
about
the numbers.
Well, I still need the numbers.
Okay.
I still need the numbers. So.
Yeah, she got to do the numbers.
Okay,
I mean, we're good, but not that good.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's 2633. And I was also going to ask you, like, do you think, like, people can change a house, or do you think the house changes the
Well, you
people?
Know what? Let's do, first of all, you got to slow down. You got to
slow
down.
I know, I'm all hyped up. Too.
I know, but listen, you got to slow down, and you got to listen.
Okay.
You got
to
catch.
I've been listening.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you're not. You got to listen to the still voice within you. See, you're not even letting me finish the sentence.
I'm sorry.
Don't say I'm sorry.
It's
okay. I'm hyped too. It's okay. It's okay. You can be hyped yet calm. You can have heightened awareness yet centered. In that
yeah,
stillness.
I need to balance that. I really do need to balance that.
All right. Go ahead, Elisa.
Well, it's
sorry,
funny that you mentioned the word okay, all right. Now just take a deep breath.
Just listen to Elisa.
Okay.
Just listen.
Okay.
Because this energy is represented in the numbers. And I know you looked it up. So you know that it equals a 5.
Mm.
The 5 is about change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5 is about change. It's about going beyond what you normally think is what you can handle. I'm not surprised that there's that energy. And you also look at the sequence of numbers. It starts off with this very even 2, which is about cooperation, and then the 6, which is about love, another even number. And then you get 2 3s, which is about energy and communication and expression. But there's 2 of them. So you're kind of, you know, working off that energy. I think the nature of this energy is to kind of change things up. So it's interesting. I think it's represented. Maybe you have a match for it right now because you're you know excited. You're anxious. You know you want it to go well. You like the way it looks. Got to pay attention to the way it feels. And I think your earlier question of you know does the house change you or can you change the house? I mean I think it's a collaborative energy. And there are certain things that you can do, much like how you would take care of yourself. You have to. It represents how you handle yourself. Your house is yourself.
Mm.
So if your house has some crazy energy in it, you can really only be responsible for your participation in that, and you know how you create the environment in that house. I mean, it's like a recipe. You have certain things that you can put together and in a particular order, and it's beautiful. But if you skip it, if you skip one ingredient, or maybe forget it, but it's a crucial ingredient you need to put in the beginning, and you try to put it at the end. Maybe you have technically all the right ingredients, but it doesn't meld the right way. So it's still like, it's not right. So, I mean, I'm trying to approach this in a way that you can, if you're definitely set on this house, then there's inner work for you to do. If you can show up grounded, so you do what you need to do. So the anxiousness, the need to just kind of put things out there without being able to receive. I mean, look at this sequence of numbers. Two is about receiving. You have to start off with being able to receive, being able to be in a cooperative mode. It isn't about moving everything forward right away. It's about just, you got to listen. You got to see what's going on. You got to feel what's going on. It's like looking before you step somewhere. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as that, and sometimes it's as simple as just breathing, taking a full deep breath in before you put air back out, so it's not shallow breathing. And when you feel that in your body, when you take that time, it's the same thing as cutting off the ends of your sentences. You know, if you know people who sort of talk and then they tail off and mumble, and you're still like really trying to pay attention. And I live with somebody like that. My aunt, I love her. She kind of mumbles, and I can't remember. I don't know. I end up trying to fill in that information, and it's usually not right, you know. And then so we both get frustrated. So, but I can only do so much in terms of I'll receive the information, but if I really don't know, I'll give a pause and I'll ask her again, and I'll give her space to answer, And so she has to do the work if she wants to be able to communicate, not just with me. So that's like a particular thing. You know, you have to just do what you can. And if it's something where it seems to be just for attention and maybe kind of a throwaway, until that person perceives it differently and says, well, it is important that I state that this is what I want to do, and be specific and be full with the information. Then I will act accordingly. I will say, all right, well, I'll ground myself because there are times when I get really frustrated. But I'm like, if she just doesn't have the word for it, that's different than kind of cutting off her words. And maybe it's a combination. So then I have to work. There's ways of knowing when to be in a collaborative spirit. Just when to receive, because sometimes that information is forthcoming. It just may not be the way you want it. And in the ways that you think would make more sense, it's more efficient. It isn't about you. It's about the other person. So you look at this combination of numbers, the 2, the 6, the 3, and the 3, there is receptivity, there's love, there's communication and expression. This is how you bring about the change. This is how you handle these changes. Because there are going to be opportunities, like there's opportunities for stuff to fall through the cracks, right? But if you look at it that way, then you're always going to be on the defensive. You're always going to be trying to, spackle everything up and keep everything, so that nothing falls through. Instead of seeing, how things unfold the way they just unfold. But keeping yourself grounded. Because a lot of times it necessarily isn't about you, but it's a combination of where you are, everyone else that's looking to move into the house, everyone else that's been in that house. So, there are ways to clear the energy beforehand, to ground the house, just like you would ground yourself. There are a lot of different ways. But you have to go in there knowing that you are doing what you can for you. And so you will influence the energy in any environment, whether it's your house, your work situation, when you go visit somebody. It's really being self-aware, self-composed, and allowing for others to kind of show up. Allow for this house. I feel like this house, if it has an odd energy, but has a beautiful potential, then you work with what you got. And if it means is paying attention to the house, a lot of times, like, for example, using my aunt, who's elderly, a lot of times it's just she kind of does want the attention. She's just not used to getting it in a particular way. She's used to getting it in a particular way, and it's not been very satisfying. And I think she gets surprised when someone's actually paying attention to the last five words of her sentence. And then so she has to actually work, because she's not living in her head anymore. She's actually communicating with other people. People are picking up on those signals. So it's like a call and response. And you have that with everything that you are in touch with. Everything, like with us, there's when you have a conversation, if everyone's talking at the same time, then maybe you're saying what you need to say, but it's never going to be received. It's not going to be received fully. So there has to be space to receive it, not just, okay, I'll give you room to talk, but I'm still thinking about what I'm talking about what I want to say to you. There's a difference. You still have to be able to receive the information as fully as you can. And when you're fully present, then there's no race. There's time to breathe. There's time to take it in. There's time to consider what really has been said. A lot of times we have an automatic filter. It's our own filter, because it's our viewpoint. But the other person is not us. So sometimes that pause, that extra consideration, that looking before you step, makes all the difference in if you're angry about it or if you're compassionate about it. And when you show that, it's different, because it isn't, well, if the other person is being mean, then you have to adjust. And five is about changes and adjusting. It really is sort of getting these ideas of who you think you are and what you think you want to create out into the physical world. So when you see, like, your ideas are put in motion and you think, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster, how do you adjust it? How do you, you know, if you're cooking, you know, what do you add to kind of help with the flavor? Or what do you decide in the future? I'm never going to put that ingredient in again. You know, but there are ways to adjust, but you have to be present. If you're not present, you can just continue miscommunicating. And it ends up being a hot mess, you know.
And miscommunicating with yourself, which is just about lining up and catching up and listening to yourself. But two things, I really suggest that you, Christina, that you download the show, because there's a lot of information coming at you. And to just get into that the practice of listening to the guidance, especially all the wonderful wisdom that Elisa just shared with you. Two things. This is a Mercury retrograde, so it's just caution in terms of anything major like a house. So that's something to just be mindful of. And the other thing is, I don't know if somebody died in that house or there was some, I'm not saying anything negative, but again, there's just a very solemn, there's an energy, and again, it's still connected to the heart, lungs, throat. I don't know what that means, but I'm still feeling that. I'm still standing by what I've picked up. So be careful. We're not saying go for it. We're not saying not go for it. We're just saying slow down and heed with caution. Just, it's a big decision. It's a big move.
Yeah, it is, because we've been in our home a long time here, and we're upgrading, and you know, it's a beautiful area. It's gives us a yard to do what we want it to do for so long, and it's just nice. And we walked through the house, and I didn't feel, you know, any vibes really, but you know, I just kind of felt an ease about there has been quite a few people that lived in the home. It is an older home. It's very well built.
You got to listen to that. You felt a little bit of a.
Yeah, but I felt an ease knowing how many people have walked through that door. And I said, you know, and I prayed to God and I asked God and I said, you know, we're qualified for the home. We haven't signed anything yet because I want to make sure that, I mean, if we've been here 24 years, I want to make sure that.
But you don't want to move again. You want to move again.
Forever, you know.
Well,
and
right. Let
so,
me just say this one
so,
thing before
okay.
we say goodbye. Let me just say this
okay.
one thing. Before, I don't know when Mercury retrograde is over. I have no idea. But look into that, because if you are going to sign anything, if it's at all possible, wait until it's the end or as close as possible to the end of Mercury retrograde.
Okay.
So I would leave you with that. So you have a lot to think about, but download the show and listen to it again. And, yeah, just good luck with everything.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. I love your guys' advice. Everything you guys have told me has been good advice and good wisdom, and everything you predicted has come true. So that's why I came to you for some
thank
advice.
You.
I'm like, you guys have it. So thank you for sharing
mm-hmm.
it.
Thank you, darling. We appreciate that.
And you guys have a wonderful, blessed day, as
you
always.
You too. You too.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay.
You too, sweetheart. Good luck. Keep us posted.
Thank you. All right. Thanks.
Take care. All right. Yeah, it's interesting house
yeah.
numbers and the energy. Yeah, she just has to pay attention to that. And if it means, you know, for her, just maybe on the mental level, like getting information on the history and,
uh-huh.
you know, just finding out some things, because it may just be like an acknowledgement of something and, you know, maybe burning some incense or sage or something
sage
like that.
Something,
and
getting
and
somebody to clear
put
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put it to rest is probably all you
Head
need to do, but I don't know. Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, what you think about if something seems really, really good, like a job, but then you find out that there's been a revolving door with this particular job that checks all your boxes and seems so amazing, there's a reason why that job is open, and especially if it's not like promotion from within. So it's just something to look at, where if there's a lot of traffic in a house, why?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true. I mean, there are questions, like you have to continue digging a little deeper, and there's time, because it's not like she's signed anything. There's time
Good. Right.
to ask those questions for yourself and
right.
to see, because my first real job when I graduated was as a college admissions rep,
mm-hmm.
Which on the surface, because someone who is, you know, just fresh out of school, pretty recently out of school and just ready to be in the world, thought that it would be really nice to be able to talk to high school kids about college, because I had such a great college experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I didn't necessarily connect was that it's a sales job. And I don't think I had a problem necessarily with that idea of sales. But I wasn't aware of, like, that backstory of,
mm-hmm.
like you had said, there were a handful of people who actually went to that school, who worked in that position, and ended up leaving.
Oh.
and then soon after I started, I realized why. You know, because it's the goals were fairly impossible to reach, despite having, you know, which seems like a great territory. You know, when I realized, oh, well, the previous person actually was from the school, lived in that area, you know, so it wasn't like, oh, well, they never even, you know, they're not used to that territory. That's why she was given that territory. And she couldn't meet her goals either.
Wow.
So, you know, and here you are, you know, I'm doing everything they tell me to do, still not reaching the goals. I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. See, because, you know, when you look at it, in the beginning, of course, the way it's presented, well, of course, that's such a small number. Surely you could reach that number. And then you get into the daily grind and you realize, well, this is why we're not reaching this number. This is why it's, you know, there isn't much. There's like only so much I can do to get the right numbers to hopefully have them flesh out. But then I got criticized. Well, not criticized. It was more like a warning. Well, you have really, really smart kids that are applying. I said, I thought that was a good thing.
Right.
And they, you know, my bosses were saying, well, that, you know, but then that means that they're also being recruited by other colleges, other places that probably could offer them more. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm selling what I know. I'm selling what you got. I can't sell them something that you don't have.
Right. So it's almost like the target. Oh, how interesting. So that their target customer, so to speak, are the kids that really can't get into any place else.
Which is not what they want, obviously. Because
no.
I would not attract those kids.
Not
I'm
you.
Like, you know,
you would attract
right.
like the people who want to go to Ivy League and whatnot. Look,
yeah,
I'm so
well,
academic.
Yeah.
Ivy League and whatnot. Now, that was the most eloquent. Yeah, Ivy League and whatnot. This is our show in a nutshell. Ivy League and whatnot. That's what we should change the name. That's us.
No, when you're that age, and I imagine if I were in their position, well, I don't think I would have done what they did, but I think I would have set more realistic goals.
More honest ones. I mean, my goodness.
More
so
honest
humanizing
ones, right.
To some, you're just a recent grad. You're in your very early 20s, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on. That's both.
And that's the nature of that particular field. It is for the young because you have to travel. You have
yes.
to be able to connect with people.
Yes.
So there's a lot
to the
of
kids.
Things I really enjoyed about that job. But mm-hmm. the end result is, you know, I won't be there to, you know, to see them through once they get here. You know, I won't be mm-hmm. here. I'll be, you know, if I stayed, I would have been on the road just like I had been. And, you know, recruiting the next batch. So there's like there's a point where, you know, either what I presented to them is exactly what it is, you know, it can stand on its own and they can work with it or it's not. And I know for me, I wasn't going to lie. I mean, I don't think they were asking me to lie, but I'm like, what else am I going to present? Either they choose it because they looked at everything that they're looking at and they made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or they choose something else. You know?
It's that simple.
And, it's that simple. I'm like, well, you know, there are plenty of reasons why smart kids go to different types of schools. They don't always go, you know, maybe they go because they got paid. They got money. And that's where mm-hmm. that was, you know, I'm not in financial aid. So I'm like, yeah, you make it worth it a while, they'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
But if your turnover rate is so high within your own work environment,
department,
I can
right.
only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine that the kids aren't going to stay much longer either.
Yeah,
and
everything.
You know,
what is it? You're as strong as your weakest link.
Right.
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 So you got to trust, you know, just to go back to the previous call, slow down, listen, trust, and pay attention. You know,
yeah.
Because you can't really talk yourself out of whatever is already established. So it could be people will do that all the time. They'll do it, oh my goodness. Especially with toxic relationships. You could see that
mm-hmm.
all the time. Well, he didn't hit me today. Oh, well, that, oh, yay.
yeah, like that's our daylight for right now. Like that's what
right.
you kind of settle for.
The rationalization and trust me, it takes such resilience and tenacity to make a radical shift, to make a radical change, if you finally listen to what probably was a very dormant voice.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do a walkthrough in a home and 99 out of 100 boxes are checked, but that one box that you can't check is there's lots of turnover and I feel a little uneasy.
Yeah,
that's
pay attention.
That, That's something not to neglect. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, this, that, or the other, but how interesting that at the beginning, and I'm still feeling it now, maybe this is why I'm talking about it, at the beginning of the call, I'm like, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, but I'm feeling a constriction, and I'm just wondering, was there an energy or an incident that affected somebody's respiratory system? Or was there a heavy smoker that used to live in that? I don't know. But the thing is, I keep bringing it up because I'm paying attention. It's the times that we don't pay attention that things get, that you paint yourself into a corner.
Right.
And it's and the thing is, it's like you have to have a thick skin, you know, because it hurts. It hurts to take a stand. It hurts sometimes to listen to yourself. It hurts because then you got to change everything, you know, and you have to be in the line of fire and vilified. I'm going through this right now. It's really hard not to believe that, not to believe it. And, of course, I don't. It's very difficult, but you got to listen. You have to listen or it's going to be too late. And I feel like in the case of my older sister, who's in a relationship with somebody who's even older than her, I'm like, damn, it's too late. It's too late. It's complicated. They're older. There's too much money and things. It's too late. It's too late. And she's only 5 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
It's too late. It's too late, though. It's too late. I hate to say it like that, but I could. It's energetically, it's like, ooh. It's too late. The denial and the acceptance and the, I want to say extreme compromise. That's even too weak. A statement. It's like, yes, and I get it because we talk about this a lot. You know, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Well, are you really happy? Because you're compromised, because you're doing the extreme compromise? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. In my situation, I compromised so much I disappeared that I didn't even know what I didn't even know what I was doing. I just disappeared. And because I am emerging and being called a stranger, absolutely. Hi, Liz. Nice to meet you. Absolutely a stranger. Absolutely a stranger. I disappeared. So I'm fighting for my life. Before it's too late. That's some scary beep. That is scary. All I know is that for a couple of days now, just a couple of days, it's just been me and my 12-year-old who has been so valiant, such a gentleman, such a defender of my honor, and we are at peace. So I'll just go with that. We are peace for now. .. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're working through any kind of change, since we're still sort of on the tail end of that last call,
of
you know,
course.
With that number, when you're working through any kind of change, the discomfort and the adjustment in going from discomfort to what you hope will be comfort is going to be different.
Oh my God.
The comfort that you emerge into will look completely and feel completely different.
Completely.
And the biggest part about, you know, this is all the stuff that was going on when you were just talking and with Christina when she was sharing is that when we have
when we have an idea of what we're getting ourselves into, even
right.
even with the best intentions, even if you'd meditated, you know, for a week before,
went to
shaman, and you know, right,
and
you wore all the right crystals and
right.
you know, you had the right essential oils,
saffron,
right. You go in and you you shave your head. You
right.
go in. Shave your head, wear the saffron robes. You got the right, you know, earthy, crunchy sandals, you know.
You didn't shave your legs for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right. You know, PETA-approved outfits.
PETA.
So you go in.
Vegan.
Pure as a driven snow. You go in. But again, that's still a filter. So you're still looking at it, and there are things that you will pick out that really work for you, because honestly, when you're in that whatever vibration you're in, that's
right.
what you're gonna, you know, you're gonna reflect back to you. So when you see what you see it, and you kind of weigh, you know, some of the edges may not be great, or you know, there's certain things, but you think, is that big of a deal?
Right.
You really weigh. You do your best in weighing what's important and what's not, and
exactly.
the stuff that isn't perfect. You know, that's stuff you end up working through, because maybe down the road it ends up being a bigger deal. Doesn't
right.
mean it's a deal breaker. It just means it's a bigger deal than you had thought.
Right.
And a lot of times when you've talked about, you know, the refinement of purpose.
Yes,
a
refinement
lot of
transformation.
Times,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Refinement of transformation.
Right.
So this is exactly what that's about.
Girl.
Whereas maybe 20 years ago, you know, well, I don't care. It's cotton, it's rayon, you know, and all of a
it's
sudden,
probably
like,
yes,
that
it don't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Then now, as you get older and you've had more experiences, your preferences are a lot stronger.
Absolutely.
Now, the difference is you may not say it out loud. You may have been so used to compromising that you just don't say it.
Right.
But that's
exactly.
Even that gets on your nerves.
Yep.
So then you got to do something about it. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we are always growing and expanding, and those are things that even if you were to keep a journal, not everyone's going to read that journal. It's for you. But
right.
the better you are at expressing who you are, being who you are in
right.
any situation, then it's not even about making it easier for everybody else, but it's almost like, and I told you so. It's, you know, you realize, well, you know what? You let other people deal with how they need to deal with it. But it's like, for me, working with my parents and realizing, you know what, I can't have you treat me like
yep.
baby girl, little daughter, and then when something big happens, you need me to make those grown-up decisions.
It's a little confusing. Exactly.
It's, yeah, and so instead of waiting for them to either see me or not, I just have to
yep.
show up.
Thank you. Yeah, you have to show up. You just, thank
yeah.
you. That's very helpful. Yeah, I'm showing up, and some people don't like it.
so no
right.
doubt, some people
yeah.
are not going to
yeah.
like it.
No, don't like it. They don't like it.
And they know what? And that's a preference for them. But until they figure out.
And God bless you.
Until they figure out what is important for them,
right.
then the battle will always be with something other and not within
yes.
themselves.
Yes, that
or,
I will
they, or they won't
continue
really,
to be the scapegoat. Right.
Or they won't. Yeah, they won't really take full responsibility for what
oh.
is basically their preference. It isn't
yeah.
like, well, you
yeah.
need to change because I yeah. prefer that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
yeah, you need to be who you used to be. Who you need to be who you weren't. You need
mm.
to be who you. Yeah, I liked who you. Yeah, I liked who you never were. Yeah, I liked who you never were. Yeah, I prefer that. I have a terrible, terrible, terrible joke that went through my mind as you were talking. So I'm
uh-oh.
Apologizing. Yeah, because you know. When I go through stuff. So I'm apologizing in advance, and I don't mean this literally at all. It's just for the sake of a cheap joke. Okay, so disclaimer, full disclosure. Okay, here's my joke. Girl, the only vibration I'm interested in is the kind that has a rechargeable battery pack. But I'm bumch. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Oh
that's sorry.
God.
I'm not even
oh
interested in
God.
That, trust me. She asleep. She's asleep. Yes.
All right. Well, let's segue into the next call.
Oh, that's perfect. Please call her.
We do
save
have
me. Save me for myself.
Oh, my goodness. We're just getting it all out today, aren't we?
Right,
here we
girl,
go.
Why not? You know what? Why not?
Area code 415. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, can you put me back on hold and I'll press 1 again? I was just going to use the restroom and then I heard you go, I'm going to take the next caller now. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, hope not it's a problem. Not me.
It's Jessica.
Not a problem. Done. It's done. Just go.
Perfect timing. Don't forget to tip your server. We're here all week. Try the veal. It's good.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Wow.
That was funny. That's all I'll say about that. But
I did want everyone to know I'm not going to be on the air because I will be.
Oh, you're going to be on
Canada. Next week. Yeah. See, I can't believe September 1st is tomorrow.
I know.
So, yeah, I fly out Saturday and I come back Saturday, but then I fly back out, you know, a few days later. So I'll have you and Anna connect and see, you know, what's what, if you still want to keep the Tuesday, Thursday.
I want to do Tuesday, Thursday. If she's available, I'll work around her schedule. If she's Tuesday, Thursday, and if she can't make it, then we just don't do a show. That's all.
Okay.
That's it.
Just as a heads up. But yeah.
Okay.
So I'll be,
girl. So you and Sona are going to Montreal and Toronto, I think?
Right. Yeah. So this will be a fun little trip. I think it'll be we've never really traveled. I mean, I visited her when I've come up to New York, and she's not stayed with me because she's actually allergic to cats, but she has visited. You know, we've sort of touched base when she's been in Atlanta.
Right.
So this will be, you know, something different. We'll see.
Yeah. Let me just ask you, since we have time, because I think she went to the restroom. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of the hotel accommodations and all of that? Like, who was in charge of all that?
Yeah.
You are.
She was. She is.
Okay. So I would just say whenever you can just get your own space in terms of I'm going to go to this gallery, okay, you don't have to be joined at the hip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've not mapped out all the stuff. You know, we're just sort of like
good.
However we want to do it when we get
good,
there.
Freestyle that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And she's, you know, we had a good conversation the other day. She has certain food allergies.
Yes.
So, you know, she's like, you know, if you want to step out and get something or, you know, do something, you know, I'll be okay. She brings a lot of different snacks and she's been doing her own research too. I'm like, you know, I'm fine, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you're going to be out because you're a great traveler. No, you are a great, great traveler. And what happens is I'm a very good traveler myself. So what happens is when you're a really great traveler, it's almost like you're so used to that. And then you see like, oh, that's kind of like a thing to be a really good traveler. It's like a skill to travel. I'm not saying she's not a good traveler. I'm just saying that being a good traveler comes very natural to you. Being a good traveler comes very natural to me and to you know, a bunch of other people. It's just a mindset. So what's good is that you sort of built in the interdependence, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And all that. And whichever bed is closest, it's weird. I don't know why I'm getting this. Don't get the bed closest to the window. I don't know why.
Okay.
Okay. And just let me know if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're staying at a regular hotel in Montreal, but we're staying at a Airbnb in Toronto.
That's good, actually.
Yeah.
Airbnb is good because that's more like a home and there's it's less confined. That's good.
Right.
Very good. Yeah, you're gonna love Montreal.
So, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so happy for you. So then you're back on the air a week from Tuesday.
Possibly. Let me see the date. yes, I should be able to do that Tuesday, but then I fly back out and I won't be back on the air until maybe the Thursday after that.
Right, because you're going to Puerto Rico? Is that Puerto Rico?
No, we're going back out to
Iceland?
Out to Canada.
Oh, you're going to
Canada.
Northern Lights with your family, right? So you're doing Canada.
Right.
Got it. Oh,
but we're
so happy
arriving,
for you.
We're arriving super early on that Tuesday the 19th, and I don't know if I'll be back in time.
Oh yeah.
After we get through customs, so I didn't want to put pressure
on
myself.
No, you should do a show that day.
No.
All right, so Anna,
I may listen
in. Yeah, you can call in.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you can call in. You don't need to have that extra layer of obligation. That's not necessary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh my God. Well,
I was looking at the itineraries, and for when we get back, you know, it's like we leave the west coast of Canada, but then we have this crazy like 6-hour layover in Toronto, so we don't get back to Atlanta until the next morning. I'm like,
oh wow,
well, okay. We'll see what happens, but yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
I'm excited
about for
any
you
type of travel. So,
we love to travel, girl.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
We have that hand raised again.
Okay, so let's talk to Jessica.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done her thing. So.
Hi.
Hello.
Don't say you're sorry. You're talking. So, what's on your mind today? What's going on?
I really just wanted, I guess, a message.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of in this interesting situation at this job that I've been working, and I've gone through different phases with the employees there, because I'm one of the managers, and I am working for a company that I am sort of the Lone Ranger manager on site, and they put me in with employees, this like team that's been together for quite some time, and I went in to clean up employee issues, but each time I sort of make a forward action to fix something. One of them will go call HR and report me for something. So, and I went through this sort of an hour and a half interrogation from HR yesterday through the phone. And
what do you mean by interrogation?
Questions about why did you say this? Why did you say this? Why do you do this? Do you think that why did this happen? Why is this going on? Blah blah blah. And in between there was several scary incidents with one of the employees that I got transferred at least temporarily out of my club. I work in a retail store, but it's just very interesting. There's layers of things going on here, and I'm taking today off as a mental health day. But it's you know, I've been releasing this. I've been learning the lessons. I've been releasing it. I've been surrendering, you know, letting spirit lead me. But I've been wanting to transition from one job to the next.
Well, there you go.
As that would be a new experience for me, because in the past I've been, I've worked for myself for a long time, but in the past, whenever I worked for anybody else, I've either quit when there's been bullshit going on or I've been fired randomly. And I guess part of me, even though I'm surrendering, I guess part of me sort of wonders, oh, is this going to be the same pattern that I get fired too? Even though there's really no basis. Like a lot of the things were even made up, which were just incredible. So it's very interesting. Let's just put it that way. I mean, I keep, again, thanking spirit because I do see the beauty and the lessons in all of it. But it's also kind of bizarre and stressful and, you know, not needed, I feel like. You know, let's move on to something positive.
Well,
so,
let's have you pull a message then.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So I'm ready when you guys are. Okay. The number associated with this message is 243. Here's a message. Flexibility and conscious awakening is the journey of delving into trapped trauma of the past, surrendered and transmuted by Source Presence Now. I think this is a very positive message because it's about transforming energy from the past. I'll read it again. I think it's very positive, actually, for what you're describing to us. Flexibility in conscious awakening is the journey of delving into trapped trauma of the past. But the difference, Jessica, is this part of the message, which is really, I want this to be the takeaway for you. Because now what's different, yes, it's delving into the trapped trauma of the past, but this time it's surrendered and transmuted by source presence now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
My intention. That is what I want.
Okay.
It looks a little funky, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Uh-huh. 243.
Well, we end up with that being an overall 9, which is interesting.
Oh, that's good.
It's looking at it from a higher level and knowing when to let it go, or when to let certain things go within yourself in terms of your own patterns. And if you've had similar jobs, it seems like, you know, anyone who gets put into that kind of troubleshoot cleanup position, you're gonna have to deal with stuff like that. Like you're gonna be put in those situations where, like in this situation, you're dealing with probably a pretty tight-knit group. They're used to doing things a certain way, but obviously they're not functioning at full capacity, probably because of whatever they've created for themselves. And you coming in as an outsider is already going to be a difficult thing. But then knowing that you've got to break it up a little bit and get them back on track for the bigger picture, which is really what a 9 is about, seeing the bigger picture. It's not meant to be that forever job, obviously, you know. And I know that for you, that's done. You know, you're just doing what you need to do. But this 243, similar to our first call where we had the 2, start off with the 2, again, take a breath, pause for a moment before you go into what you see. It's like, just take a moment. There's a receptivity of receiving information. And even if you've seen it, it's like, okay. You can also say, I'm also going to be talking to these people, and they're not very welcome. They're not very receptive for you anyway. Anyone who's in management tends to be like, you're like the man, you know, you're the man trying to put them down. But when you take that pause, and a lot of it is maintaining your own integrity, like with the HR people, it's being able to say, you know, to say, well, this is what I was doing. This, you know, and having to answer to that because of the situation, the position you're in, there's a way of checks and balances, and in that way, they have every right to ask a question or to maybe to put in their complaints in terms of the manner, but for you to handle what you know to be true for you. And I think I feel like that's a phrase I've said to you many times, you know, to handle, what's true for you. But then also been receiving that information and saying, well, if you were to say it in a different way, but it's basically the same message, would it be received differently in that sense? Would it be received better than the way you have been doing it? So it's like these refinement of what you're wanting to say, how you're wanting to say it, not just to say that you're right, but also to see that it has a positive impact. It puts everybody in the direction of where everyone agreed that we need to be in that direction. It's a big responsibility. I don't think you've ever shied away from any of those types of responsibilities, but you know, there's only so much that people want to deal with when it comes to anything in their life. You know, if there's something that's chafing or rubbing the wrong way, then you kind of don't want to continue doing it. You want to be able to change it out and figure out how to find relief. I feel like that's what you're doing in a lot of your choices, is that you're kind of revisiting what you're really good at, because you're probably really good at some of these things. But it may not be what you really want to continue doing, because it doesn't really feel good anymore. And it's not really fulfilling for you. So as you're changing these things, you look at these numbers, the 2, the 4, and the 3. The first two numbers are very even. It has to do with detail work, being very responsible, kind of being on your game, being very orderly. But then that 3 says, yeah, but if you're not communicating this and expressing it in a way that's fulfilling for you and for the other people, for your audience, then that's the kind of work you need to look into, so that even just to say hello isn't met with hostile looks. You know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I think the hardest thing for really intelligent people is to be misunderstood. Even if you have the best intentions, if your language is sort of one-dimensional, or you just kind of keep it that way, not that you don't know how to, but you just kind of keep it that way, that's the switch that you can decide. You have a choice. Everyone has a choice to say, all right, obviously, you know, this is not, we're not connecting in the ways that
are meaningful. So what can I do, or what needs to happen? You know, mostly it's what can I do, because you can only be responsible for yourself. Another phrase that I tend to use a lot. But this is like bigger picture stuff. It isn't just about the work. And that's a phrase I use with you a lot. It's just, it's about how everything goes, you know, every aspect of your life. And as the trajectory of like our conversations with you, it has been, you know, it's been you opening up to what's been going on for you, and making these choices and making these changes. And they're internal. It's not something that we can say, oh yeah, you've done all this. It'll show up. It'll show up in, you know, when the next time you call, you've got, you know, it's just really just a follow up, not even to say, because I have an issue. Not that you couldn't call for that anyway, but I'm just saying, as you've been transforming, you have been changing. And I think you have been taking a lot of these things to heart. It isn't a race, though. You know, I think we get this information and we can see it for ourselves, but to put it in action, you know, there's no getting around it. You got to do the work. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be stuff that you in your head, you know how it's supposed to work out, but the other players aren't playing the right way. But that's the whole point. You know, they're not you, and they're not going. They have their own stuff they're dealing with, so they're going to receive it differently. And you have to continue to work your purpose, and to refine how you do things, or to find other ways, other languages. It seems like really working on just going beyond what's in your head, because everything's perfect. You know, in my head, everything is perfect. And then in reality, it's like, wow, people just completely didn't get that. So it's bridging that gap. And it's everyday opportunities, not just at work, but just in simple conversations. And I think that's where those little differences, when you start noticing that, that's going to build your momentum. And put you, not that you're on the wrong track at all, but you'll start seeing where some of these other opportunities are lining up, and you can choose to take them at that moment. Just like, you know, you had an opportunity to talk to us earlier, like, wait a minute, I had something else to do. So you stated what you needed to do. We're like, no problem, come on back. You came back, we're talking now. So nothing was lost.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the right time. Because if we had heard an echo where you were, we'd have been like, listen, do your business. We'll
yeah, hello.
Back.
But you said three very powerful words, Elisa, that I just want to restate, because they really shouldn't be dismissed or swept over. Work your purpose. I love that.
Mm.
That needs to be like a hashtag or something. Work. Yeah, I love that. Trademark that.
Yeah. I've been realizing two main things. Well, main things have been in my mind since yesterday, and I've been processing this all. One is I realized the importance of how I've always said that I wanted to be a consultant for these companies, and I realize now on how important that is for me to come in at that level, because at the level where I am is not the positive changes that I've brought are not valued. They're not appreciated. And even though there was sort of talk as far as we want you to fix this, the reality is that they don't. So I see that I see the importance of it really is important for me to come in at a higher level, come in more at the corporate level, so that my suggestions would be valued, appreciated, listened to. So that's number one, and that I'm just noticing the importance of that. And then number two is that at this point, you know, one of the last comments with HR, I was going back and forth emailing this lady because a lot of things were coming up for me after we had the conversation.
Sure.
Or after, and you know, was that she was like, well, and you can forward me any information to support this investigation, you know, to kind of support, I guess, my side.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sent a text, you know, and how, you know, she had requested on how one of the employees, like, totally ignored my directive and then went to go, you know, report me for something, which was, she was in the wrong. But, you know, the other thing that's coming up for me is that part of me, I think maybe this is the old part of me that maybe is dying out a little bit, is always like, let me stand up for my honor. And that is the whole you know, speak my truth. And I think it's important for me to express myself. But the big thing that's coming up, I think, I'm just going to still sit it today, is that it's not worth it. You know, let the chips kind of fall where they fall here. And because I'm not interested in fighting for a job that I don't like and
exactly.
that is toxic. And, you know, so it's like it's not worth the energy for me to comb through my emails and send it that way when I've been reaching out for help. Yeah, I mean, I've been asking for help for 3-4 months and it hasn't come. The emails have been ignored by my manager. So what's the point of exerting more energy? You know, again, beating my head against a wall. Like, that is an old pattern of mine to just recognize when people are not interested, even though they say they are, you know, HR, oh, let us hear your concerns. They don't care.
Well, they just
they have to,
it's a corporate culture and and it's a litigious society. So they have to be very PC, and there's going to be a certain language, you know.
Yep, I've been learning that. Yeah,
there's a certain
lexicon. I needed that education. Yeah, I didn't have that education.
It's a,
now
right.
I do.
So there,
I haven't
so you find the blessing, and that there's the willingness, the willingness to understand that this was on the job training, meaning that you were learning whatever skill, lexicon, language, cultural environment, how systems work. It was like research and development for whatever you're going to be doing once you go.
Actually, I think our call just got dropped.
And it's the end of the show. And there we go.
It is the end of the show. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, girl. So have the best... Have the best time. I sent you some lovely text messages. Have the best. I know. Have the best time ever. And I'm so looking forward to being on the air with Anna, because we got so much to talk about. So you'll be very missed, and the show will go on. And yes, as far as I believe, but you'll know when you log on to listen to the show or go into the archives, that this show will be back on the air Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. If you need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. Have a safe, wonderful trip. Give my best to Sona. Have a lot of fun. And look forward to hearing about it upon your return. And just travel safe and have a wonderful time. And so good to do a show with you today. So,
thank you.
Yes, love you, girl. All right. So in the meantime, remember to...
Follow
the feeling to you. Have a great day, everybody. Love you.
Love
Bye.
You. Bye.